Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August 26th, and it is 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Last month, we had KSDK's general manager, Cindy Sweat, on air talking about the threat of public media. Well, the House and Senate did pass the recent rescissions package, which defunded the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. And Cindy's here again to talk about the newest updates and how that affects us here at KSDK and nationally. Again, Cindy's usually nearby the phone during Talk on the Rock, ready to pick it up if anyone calls, but not today since she's in the studio with me. So we apologize if you want to get through to us to leave a comment or ask a question. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Colette. I'm doing fine. Thanks for doing this again on Talk on the Rock. And I do want to encourage people that if you do have questions, while I can't answer the phone right now, send an email to Colette or I, or stop by later or call us on the phone at another time. My email is cindy@ksdk.org if you have a question and you want to do it that way.
Great. Yeah. cindy@ksdk.org. Mine is Colette@ks, that's C-O-L-E-T-T-E at ksdk.org. Another one, which is easy, it's all filters of the same as news@ksdk.org. Public media has been receiving funds from the CPB since 1967. That's almost 58 years of key funding to keep public media on air. So the end of the fiscal year is September 30th this year.
Yes.
That means we're not going to receive any more funds from the CPB, and we've relied on our funds. We've relied on 53% of that. 53% of our funds come from CPB. Can you talk about that and what that looks like for us at KSDK?
Okay. So the rescissions is actually, the rescissions bill was set on the federal fiscal year, which will end in October. So the funding stations receive will, we are all receiving funds through October of this year, and then it's gone. The CPB is actually right now closing up shop, so they're done. What does that mean? So you're asking, what does 53% of our station revenue mean? Well, you know, it's we used to have, prior to 2015, we had three pillars. We had funding from the state of Alaska, we had funding from the federal government, and then we had our local funding. So there were three, and it was basically in thirds. You know, it was usually like 140-ish from the state, you know, 160-ish, or, you know, it changed every year from the federal government, and then the rest the other third we would raise locally. So then state funding went away. So then we're down to half and half. Half of our funding was coming locally and half from the federal government. And now the federal government funding has gone away, so now it's 100% local right now. That's what we're looking at. And so people who live in Wrangell know we do pledge drives, we have raffles, we have station events, we have underwriting from businesses. That's the local funding, and that's what we have right now. So in terms of what does that pay for, it pays for everything from salaries to programming to all of the equipment that you see here in the studio, all of the equipment that it takes to get this, get our voices out to those radios and to the web, the transmitter, the receivers, all of that is paid for through our budget. That's what we pay for.
Yeah. And nationally, like, the stations just have varied with how much CPB funding. We are considered a lot more, 53%, but there's some stations that receive as little as, I don't even know.
Well, and so what stations received from CPB was based on, they call it your TSR, which your total station revenue, how much you, there's a calculator that, you know, it's based on your other revenue, how many people you're serving. So in a larger community, they might have received a much larger grant, but it was a much smaller percentage. Mm. So if you think about, you know, Anchorage is actually considered a small market when we're talking about broadcasting. To us, it's a huge market by comparison. You know, so the percentage that they're able to raise locally is a lot greater because there's more people and more organizations and more foundations. So the smaller the station, the bigger the impact. Mm-hmm. So for KSTK, it was more than half of our revenue that we were relying on from the federal government, because that's a big lift to ask for our local people and organizations and businesses.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so Cindy, she's been working behind the scenes, trying to keep up with all these changes that we're facing. Can you speak about the changes that we're encountering here at KSDK?
So anytime you look at a budget, whether it's your household budget or, you know, if you've listened into City Hall and we're talking about bigger budgets like a municipal budget, there's revenue and there's expenses. So the money coming in and the money going out, and you want to, you have to look at both. So under revenue, we've been actively fundraising on three different levels. So there's the local effort, and then there's a statewide effort, and then there's a nationwide effort. So behind the scenes, there are some pretty big pushes to raise funds for local radio stations. So locally, in, you know, our usual methods, our pledge drives, our auctions, our, you know, we're going to have an art auction in March, special events, we'll have a raffle, we'll do our raffle and pull that ticket around Valentine's Day. We have a pledge drive coming up in October. So all of those mechanisms are in place. They're just bigger goals, mm-hmm. A greater ask, and more sponsors for our different events for that fundraising effort. Plus, we're asking foundation support, local organizations and contributions that I'm just straight up directly asking, you know, and other philanthropic direct support to KSTK. So some organizations, some individuals are, you know, we all live in a different financial world, and some folks have more than others, and some foundations and organizations are part of their purpose is to give and to support organizations that they want to get behind. And so I'm asking some directly for support. On our, you know, just in terms of individuals, you know, this would be a really good time to think about a sustaining membership. That's when you put it on auto pay and make a monthly contribution that automatically comes out of your account. I was thinking about one of our guests that was on the air with us during the last pledge drive, and she said she was looking at her credit card statement, and she said, okay, so I've got Prime, I've got Netflix, I've got Hulu, I've got Apple TV, I've got, you know, and the list went on and on. She said, you know, KSTK is at least as valuable to me as any one or two of those put together. So she said, I'm going to do a sustaining membership of $20 a month. And I was like, that's great, you know. And if you think about, I did that math before we came in here. I thought, okay, so what does that mean? So over a year, that one donor, that's $240 a year. If half of Wrangell, if 1,000 people in Wrangell did that, that's $240,000. That's a lot of money. Yeah. So even though it feels like a big lift, and it is a big lift, I'm just encouraging you that if you really want your radio station, to think about, you know, maybe a $10 a month donation would really make a big difference. You think about like our 4th of July royalty, we're buying tickets for $1 a piece. And at the end of June, you know, after the end of a month, $100,000 has been raised. So you really can just chip away at it if everybody kind of helps out, I guess is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I want to talk about RMDs. It's a required monthly, required minimum distribution. So this is for folks in retirement who have put away a retirement fund. And I think it's age 73. At a certain age, I believe at 73, you're required to take some money out of that account. If you don't, you're then taxed on it. So this is a strategy for retired individuals to make charitable contributions instead of getting taxed. And I've talked to a couple of retired folks in Wrangell that they like to do that for KSTK, that, you know, I'd rather spend it here instead of being taxed on it. And so if you're in that age group and if this is something that resonates with you, I'd like you to, you know, give that some thought. And then also just during pledge drives, you've heard about, you know, we do these matches and challenge grants. If that's something you'd like to do, I encourage you. And then on the other end, when you're one of those people who's saying, yeah, I want to get in on that match, I thank you for that and encourage you during the next drive to do that. So those are all ways we're working locally.
Yeah. And can you speak about, like, how much money, you know, did CPB give us?
$168,000 was the estimate for this coming year, starting at the end of October. $168,000 is the amount that we're missing, that just was appropriated. It was given. And so that's what we based our budget on. And then they pulled it back. That rescission, it was a take back. Mm-hmm. So now we're sorting that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then there's a statewide effort. Alaska Community Foundation has set up a fund that's called Voices Across Alaska. And their goal is to raise $15 million to replace the CPB funding for all 27 licensees across Alaska. And so that's the statewide effort. That goal is $15 million. And as of last week, $1.5 million had been raised through that effort. And so that's going to be directly, that $15 million represents exactly what all of these 27 stations across Alaska lost. That's the total. And so each station, let's say that $15 million is raised, each station would get their piece. We would get our $168,000. Yeah. And each station would get whatever they were expecting. And the account managers on that are Molly Kabler, who is our Coast Alaska Executive Director, Ed Ullman, he's the president of Alaska Public Media, and Jackie Salee, and she is the president of KNBA and Kawanak Broadcasting, the Native Broadcasting Organization. So those are the three who are, you know, the, let's call them the deciders. They look at the money and figure out who gets what, based, and that's all based on what every station received from CPB.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of the managers across the state have been consulted on this. We've all been in on the conversation. And we're all, you know, wanting to do what's fair for everybody.
Yeah.
So we all agree.
Yeah, definitely.
And working together.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said 15 million, mm-hmm. 1.5 million was raised, and we're losing 168,000, which is so much smaller than the 15 million.
Yeah, it's just a piece of it, but you know, there's 27 licensees across the state of Alaska. A couple of those are TV, which is a little more costly. But it's an equal distribution, just like it always was, mm-hmm. you know, based on what your needs are and who your audience is and how many people you're serving and all of those things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's a nationwide effort. It's called Public Media Bridge Fund. And those folks are asking all of the big nationwide philanthropic organizations, the billionaires out there, for contributions. And the goal on the nationwide scope is $150 million, and so far they've attracted $37 million toward that from philanthropic and foundation support. So I'm not sure who decides which stations get that, but it's a similar idea to the Alaska Community Foundation Voices Across Alaska, mm-hmm. only this is across the entire United States, that this is to give back to the stations what they lost.
Yeah.
So that's happening. So there's three major efforts going on in terms of raising funds, mm-hmm.
yeah.
That we're all working on.
And we are. And just, you know, we've had recently three fundraisers for our station. One was the beach blowout and the other one was the golf tournament. Those were already planned ahead of time. And then in late July, I believe, we had an emergency pledge drive.
Right.
Can you speak about how much we raised for all three?
Oh, gosh. I wish I brought... I can off the top of my head tell you that the beach blowout was so much fun. And thanks, everybody, for coming because you made it a successful event. So between ticket sales and we also had a 50-50 raffle going on with that, we raised over $5,000 at that event, which is really awesome. Mm-hmm. So thanks to everybody who helped out with that. The golf tournament, I'm going to have to do some... real quick math on that. I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared for that.
Oh, sorry, you're fine.
So, let's see.
And then the pledge drive, it was about over 16,000.
So, going back to the golf tournament. Yep. So, we made about 2,200 on the tournament, plus we have a... in-kind trade with AP&T, who is the event sponsor. So that's not a cash to us, but it's a value that they provide in internet, which is really great.
Great.
Yeah. So
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. That's part of our in-kind agreement with AP&T. They provide some internet service for us, and in trade, they get the to be the event sponsor and also some basketball sponsorship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And then... for the emergency pledge drive.
Yeah, so that one day, all the folks out there in Wrangell raised over $10,000 in just one day. And then the money just kept trickling in and continues to trickle in. And I'm saying it's close to $20,000 that has come in towards that emergency pledge drive. And, you know, a lot of that has come... a lot of it is thank you to everyone in Wrangell who donated, but some is also coming from outside of Wrangell because of the Adopt-A-Station. Somebody created this Adopt-A-Station where you can go online and go to Adopt-A-Station and you find a station and you can make a donation to them. And so we've received donations from people all over the United States that helped get to that 20,000 mark.
Yeah, that's really, really...
because they care in the whole, you know... that they don't want this sieve. They want a bowl that's going to float.
Yes. You know? And so our funds that we raise, mm-hmm. that, I mean, obviously that goes towards us, but we still lost the 168,000 and then, which is the federal funds. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like you said before, we're raising 100% now. So.
Right. Yeah, and these are the mechanisms we're doing this by our normal, the typical things that we do, just with larger goals, bigger asks, more explanation, going to philanthropic organizations. We're hoping to get a piece of the pie. Well, we will get a piece of the pie from the Alaska Community Foundation, Voices Across Alaska. And then, and I don't know when these are distributed. That's still a question mark. And also we're hoping that we'll be part of the Public Media Bridge Fund. That's the nationwide effort. What those amounts will actually be, of course, I don't know, but we're very hopeful. And there really is a light at the end of the tunnel on this. So there's reason to be hopeful.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are a member of Coast Alaska.
Yeah.
Can you explain what Coast Alaska is and our roles between the two?
Okay. Yeah, great question. So Coast Alaska is a service organization. So Coast Alaska is not a funder. They don't provide funding. It's I think of it as a hub, like the hub of the wheel. And then you have all these stations that are the spokes of the wheel. So KSTK is one spoke. And then down in Ketchikan, KRBD. Over in Petersburg, KFSK. Out in Sitka, KCAW, up in Juneau, KTOO, and then out on the Aleutian Chain, KUCB. So we are the member stations. And all of us, all of these stations, you know, it's really expensive to pay for engineers. It's really expensive to pay for IT services, bookkeeping, help with membership, help with development. So Coast Alaska provides all of those services, and each member station pitches in. So we're kind of passing the hat, right? So each station pitches in so that we share one engineer. So KSDK doesn't have to pay the whole cost of a salary, but we pay, you know, one of these six communities, we all pay towards that. So we share the cost mm-hmm. of that engineer. We share IT services. We share a bunch of bookkeeping services. And so it's a way to save money. And it also gains a lot of efficiency because we have one person doing something for all of these different stations. And if we all do it the same way, it just makes everything go fast and smooth and efficient and saves a lot of money. So that's what Coast Alaska is.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And coincidentally, one of our IT people is coming in today.
Yes, Kevin is arriving on the afternoon jet, and he's going to help put together. He's the wizard. He does all the electronics here at the station and out at the transmitter. So we're always happy to see Kevin.
Yes. Yeah. And so speaking of transmitters and all that, we also received a grant for the next generation warning system that enhances alert and warning systems for communities, our community, and it will help us upgrade our own equipment to alert community members of emergencies. Can you speak more about the next gen warning system?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So Next Generation Warning System, NGWS, this was a grant with funds from FEMA distributed by CPB. And so I applied for this grant. We were awarded a reimbursable grant about 1 year ago was the kickoff for that of $90,000. And so that was pretty exciting. So that was meant to replace all of the entire chain of electronics and everything it takes to get those emergency alerts out. So time went on. I was able to, we did purchase a new, it's a DASDEC. It's the machine that receives and rebroadcasts all of the emergency alerts. It's networked in with the State of Alaska Emergency Alert System. It's networked in with the Nationwide Emergency Alert System. So when you hear that, this is only a test. Okay, that's what that machine does. And when there's an actual emergency, if there is a severe weather warning, NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is one of the broadcast that it monitors. So if we have a severe weather event coming, that alert will go out over the EAS. If there's a missing child, an amber alert, or a silver alert, those all go out. If they're relevant to our community, we'll hear them in our community. So got that new machine. And then, of course, we can broadcast all we want here at the station, but if the power's out, nobody's going to hear us. Fortunately, we were able to replace the backup generator at the station 2 years ago, thanks to the Walker Foundation. But we needed a new generator out at the transmitter site. So we were able to purchase that. And that's been installed and it's working great. And so both of these automatically kick in when the power goes out. So KSDK can continue broadcasting. So if there is an emergency, often the power goes out during an emergency, especially a severe weather event or an earthquake, which we've had a couple that knocked out cell phones and landlines. We've had that happen. So it paid for that and also some of the computers within the chain. But then CPB let us know in May that they put out a stop work order and said they no longer had funds, no longer had access to the funds from FEMA. And that if we were going to continue to make expenses, they could not guarantee that we'd get our money back. And so I got that email and I immediately was, you know, shocked and hurting for our community because we need this service here. And then I realized every station across the country just got the same email. And so I don't know where different stations were in the process, but at KSDK, we were about halfway through. So we had spent about $47,000. Thankfully, we had been completely reimbursed right about the same time they called the stop work order. Mm. But we've not been able to complete that So the second half of the project, we can't complete. So our translators are really old and need to be replaced. Some of the computers are really old and need to be replaced. And now with the closing of CPB and loss of federal funding, we don't have a dime to spend on anything. So we're stuck. But I feel fortunate compared to some other stations that have not received their reimbursement, and they might not get it. Mm-hmm. But we did. So we were able to complete half of the project, and we received our reimbursement for half of that project. So I'm sorry that we were not able to fully fulfill that. I feel bad for our whole community because this impacts everybody. But when I think about it across the country, there's a lot of rural America, especially in Alaska, but, you know, there's a lot of rural places that don't have a whole lot of broadcasters that have severe weather and are relying on this, and they just kind of, everybody just signed contracts with the federal government, had a signed contract from FEMA and CPB and the station managers, and then it just was pulled back.
Yeah.
So
that's where we are now.
That's where we are.
We have half of the project completed.
Yes.
And the other half, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. Well, at this point, because I'm busy just kind of keeping the lights on at the station, I need to look at the rest of the list and prioritize, and then maybe, I don't know, go out and ask for a specific fundraising, you know, effort for, okay, we need to replace our translators. This is the amount we need. Can you help us do that? Mm-hmm. You know, we might have to just go out to specific asks, or looking at other grant opportunities to replace electronics. And as important as that is right now, I'm trying to work on this budget too. And so anyway, right now the translators, while they're very old and ready to stop working at any time, they're still working. So it hasn't raised up to the level of things like, you know, now looking at expenses and what can we possibly cut and all of those kinds of things. That is the other part of the budget.
Yeah. And just for the record, like, none of this is easy. None of these efforts are easy. I've seen Cindy like plugging away every single day trying to keep our station.
Thank you, Colette. Yeah. I really am. I mean, this isn't just, you know, it's not just a job. It's a service providing to the community that is, in my opinion, just really important. Providing local news, local information to local people, and keeping people safe and informed is important. And so I'm dedicated to, you know, I'm going to do everything humanly possible that I can do. But yeah, it also does take me away. You can imagine all the meetings that have come along with, you know, we had to invent all of these things. We had to invent all these different buckets of money, and how are we going to do this? And so, which is great because you need organization to make it happen, but it also kind of has taken me away from the other stuff that I normally do.
Yeah.
So, but we're about at the end. I had a couple things on expenses, but I don't know if we still have time. Shall we go ahead and talk about that?
Let's go for it.
Okay. So we did talk about revenue. So on the other side of that, expenses. And those of you who have lived here for a while, remember that back in 2020, and I talked about this at the beginning of the conversation, that we used to have state of Alaska funding. Well, that all went away. And so when that happened, you know, I had to make some really hard decisions then. And so at that time, we reduced staff hours. We cut some programming. And we started down this road of deferred maintenance on our electronics and on our building. And so now, 5 years later, we don't have a lot to cut. But still, I'm looking at, like, what can I do? So staff reduction, you know, we have had since 2020, when we had to reduce hours back then, we have had two full-time positions. That's you, Colette, the reporter, myself, general manager, and then two part-time positions. So I'm cutting my position starting next week to 30 hours a week instead of 40 hours a week, because that's one way that we can save some money. And so I'm going to be here less, which means I'm not going to be able to do all the stuff that I typically do. So that's a few changes. So now we'll have our one full-time reporter and news director, because that's my value for the station, is to provide local news and information. So Colette, you're the full-time employee here at KSTK, and we're very grateful for you. I'm grateful for all the staff here, by the way. They're fantastic. They work way more than they get paid for. You know, it's an outstanding group of people. Also under expenses, we have been asking for fee forgiveness. So that means all of these content producers that produce all the different programs that you hear on the radio, we've reached out to each and every one and asked for, hey, can we either reduce significantly the cost of the program or eliminate the fee for a year or two? Mm-hmm. And we're getting some good response on that. So that will help shave some money. Fee sharing. So we're asking permission to share. There's an interconnect fee that's pretty expensive, and that's the public radio satellite system, the distribution system through the satellites. So we're asking for permission to share. So maybe more than one station can share an interconnect, which would mean one receiver at one station would then provide programming for more than one station. And that if we can do that, that will save a pretty good chunk of money. And then sharing services, we're trying to work on a plan where several stations can share programs and even share some automation. So, and that's all kind of technical stuff that's above my understanding, but I'm willing to learn and implement if we can, because that will save some money. So, trying to make lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm encouraged, and I am so grateful to not just the hardworking staff here and to Coast Alaska's hardworking staff, but the community for rising to the occasion and understanding that this is our community broadcast system. You know, this is our community emergency alert system. This is how we listen to our basketball games. This is how we, you know, listen to our assembly meetings, like the one that's going to be on tonight. Mm-hmm. This is how we find out what's happening in town. This is local, yeah. You know, this is what's important. And that's why the grant was a community service grant. That was our federal grant. It wasn't for, you know, programming from somewhere else. It was for local reporting, local content, mm-hmm. local music hosts, all of it. So,
Yeah.
So I thank the community for supporting the station, and really encourage anyone, if you have questions or a comment, call me up, send me an email. I'm happy to have a conversation.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Is there anything else?
I think we've covered it as much as we can in a half hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was Cindy Sweat, our KSDK's general manager, talking about new changes that are happening because of the defunding of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Next, we are going to